Advent time. Can you believe it? I got somebody, Advent time. It doesn't seem like I've ever really celebrated Advent a whole lot. I remember growing up as a child, we'd do the 12 days of Christmas. You ever get those calendars where you have those little doors that you would open and the 12 days of Christmas? But Advent is something that, well, it's been around for quite some time. And it's the anticipation of an arrival. In fact, Advent actually means arrival. And the way we look at Advent, we look at the anticipation, the arrival of our little baby Jesus, right? We look at our little baby Jesus, the Savior of the world. It's a countdown to that Christmas day when Jesus was born and we come together to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrate this with merriment and festivities. And the whole world seems to kind of get around that, especially, the shopping holidays part of it anyway. There's a lot of people that wait for those Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals, and that is what encompasses their time of celebration, where they're looking. That's their anticipation of Advent, of having those moments of going out and just shopping, of buying what they want, of having the greatest deals. That's what they look forward to. But we look forward to something different. We look forward to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come in human form to be a part of our lives, to bring something that we had not had before. This is the Advent time that I speak of. This is the anticipation time that I speak of our Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth, not because of any other reason, but because He loved us. He loved us all, and He still does. And it's a time where we get to, look and reflect upon our future. Our future. And when we think about our future, we think about it hopefully in means of hope. You know, hope is a very tricky thing. Did you know that? Hope is tricky. It's tricky because to some people, hope is nothing more than just a word. Imagine if hope was nothing more than just a word in your life, to where you look at the word hope and it really doesn't have any meaning for you. To some, hope is just a realization or a wishful gesture of something not realized in their life. Some have hope in things that come up. Some have hope in, maybe they can get a better job. Or perhaps they're having issues with some family members and they have hope for healed relationships in the future. Some may just, wish for simply a better life. This is the hope of some. And for some, it's just an elusive gesture for a better tomorrow. They don't really have hope in their life. They look at the future and what it holds for them, and it doesn't ring true. For some, hope can feel like a dream. A dream that conveys an element of doubt into their life. You know, hope has doubt. Did you realize hope has doubt? That you desire something for the future, but you doubt whether it will come. And a lot of people get to that point where they're unsure of the outcome. When they have a dream that doesn't come true, it becomes devastating to people. Hope becomes devastating to people because they leave crushed because what they had hoped for does not come out the way they had wished it or desired it to be. They have a life that is existing without hope. And maybe just a life just of existing itself, where they have no anticipation of tomorrow. You know, there's a very specific proverb that speaks of hope. And some of you might know it. It's in the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs talks about how hope deferred makes a heart grow sick. You ever had your hopes crushed? You ever wished for something? You ever desired something so bad to not receive it? How did you feel afterwards? You probably felt really, well, maybe you felt angry. Certainly probably felt sad. Maybe you were worried for the future. Whatever combination of emotions that came because the hope that you were wanting was deferred and it made your heart feel sick. To come to a point of realizing that it just wasn't going to happen. Some people live with a life where hope doesn't exist. And they just have a momentary stillness in a sea of turmoil. Some people live directionless, moving from one point to another, one moment to another, because they don't have hope. But to others, hope exists. I hope exists for you. My desire for you is that you would have hope. That you would have hope in a future that would come to fruition. That we still have hope for something greater than what we have now. That there's still a desire for a future outcome. I hope you have desire for a future life that perhaps looks, well, way off for you at this moment. Or it looks maybe that it's just so unseeable, so far off. But you can still have hope. A hope for a future that comes around your desires. But this hope that I'm speaking of is not a hope that's rooted in uncertainty like the world would have hope. They hope that their favorite thing is on sale on Black Friday. Or they hope that they can go home and they can watch their show at a moment's notice. Or they have hope for something else. But the hope I'm speaking something as rooted in something, in a foundation. It is in a biblical promise made by God. That's our hope. That's the hope I want you guys to have. That's the hope I want you to realize, that your hope comes from God. And when you have hope in God, then what you hope for will come to the future. It will happen. Our hope in God cannot be dismayed. Our hope in God is cemented in His promises of His character. We just got done learning about His character and who He is. And our hope is seated, rooted in Him, being our Lord and our Savior, being our God. That's our hope. It's not something that's willy-nilly that goes from here to there in a moment's notice. It's something that is true today as well as it was yesterday and it will be tomorrow. Our hope lives like that. In our time of Advent, our time of thinking about arrival of a Savior, we have hope in our Savior. God said that He would send somebody to us, didn't He? And He did. But when we have a moment that we truly believe and hope and we see it come to fruition, when we see it come true, then that, remember that proverb I already told you about? Proverbs 13:12, where hope deferred makes a heart grow sick. We get to see the second part of that. Says that hope, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When you hoped for something, when you desired something so bad and it came true, what did you feel like? Were you still sad? Were you happy? Joyful? Did you want to dance? There's some things that come true and we have hope in that just make us feel so loving, have that warmth of love inside of us. You ever had that kind of hope? The hope that just fills every ounce of you to knowing God has provided and God will provide again. That's the hope that I speak of. Because we know that our hope doesn't come from a baseless form. It doesn't come from somebody that is just out here not doing things and said, oh, I'm just going to let you live on your own. It comes from a God that is involved in our lives, from a God that wants us to be, well, to be joyful, wants us to have peace, wants us to have life. He wants us to have everything that we need. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans. These are plans not to forsake us, but these are plans for a hope and a future. Right? So we know God has a hope for us. He wants us to have something. He wants to have everything. He wants us to have Him. And we have hope in a God who has already delivered. Sometimes we forget. We come in here week after week on a Sunday and we talk about our Lord Jesus Christ and we forget exactly what He has done. We forget that our Lord Jesus came from a time of being a deity in form, to become a form in man, to become human, to show us a life, to give us a life, so that we could have hope for the future. These were the plans that God had. Not to forsake us, but to give us life. And to give us life eternal, right? You can look throughout the history of the world, and when you examine the scripture and you look at the history of things, you see God has already moved in the past. He's already, His proclamations that He has made are already history. So if we look at those proclamations that He's already made, sounds like they're having a good time downstairs. I like that. So that's the sound of hope. If God has made things already come true and He's delivered a hope to the world, why would we think that He wouldn't continue to deliver it? We get so wrapped up in our lives a lot of times. On that little entry video, talked about the busyness of life. Is your life busy? Is it getting busier? Does it get a whole lot busier during this time of year? Seems like my life is just, ever since Halloween, is just somebody stepped on the gas. And we're just projecting ourselves forward. Life gets busy. But even in that busyness, we can't forget about our Savior. We can't forget about Jesus. We can't forget about the hope for the future. We can't forget of what He's already given and what He will continue to give. These are the things that we hope for. You know, and these things that we hope for have been whispered upon from the ancient prophets. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah talks about where that coming forward, God will deliver. And what does He say He's going to deliver? He says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And it will call Him Emmanuel. Does everybody remember what Emmanuel stands for? God with us. Isaiah said, this is going to happen. And God delivered upon it. If you go further in the scripture, about 10 books past that, you come to the book of Micah. Where Micah goes that from out of Bethlehem, will come a ruler over Israel whose origins are from old, from ancient times. This is a signaling of our Lord Jesus Christ who comes out of Bethlehem, out of the clan of Judah. These olden times, these ancient times that He speaks of, this goes back, clear back to the book of Genesis when God said, I will give you. He told the serpent, He says, I'm going to give woman, I'm going to give Eve a child, a son, who will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is the hope spoken of in ancient times of way back when. In the beginning, God was delivering hope. He was signifying that there was hope for everybody, not just a select few, not just those that, you know, of a single tribe, But he says, no, this hope is for the world. And we have access to that. And hope is something that is truly miraculous if you believe in it. But the thing is with hope is something that's based on future events. Hope is based on something that you are anticipating in future events, where you're desiring a particular outcome. And then in this anticipation of future events, we're supposed to have faith. Do you remember what faith is? Do you remember in Hebrews 11:1 what it talks about faith? The definition, I hope I drilled that into you guys so you remember it. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. That's having faith. And when you have faith, you have hope. Faith in what's going to happen. Faith that your Lord Jesus is going to be about your lives. Faith that Jesus is going to give you exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it. Faith in Jesus. Faith in realizing that something greater than what you have now is coming for the future. Don't we all want something greater for the future? Do you want something greater for the future? I sure do. I want something greater that sometimes I don't even know what I want. Sometimes I have to have it shown to me. This is what you wanted, Larry. Sometimes my wife shows me that. This is what you wanted, Larry. Well, she does that all the time, but this is what you... I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit, folks, so... Any husband out there will get that. Understand it. But it's realizing something greater is coming and that we want to receive something greater than what we have right now. That you want it. That you don't want to live in the state where you're at right now. Especially if that is a state where you don't have hope. That you don't believe in the future. That you don't see that anything good or rewarding will happen whatsoever. But there is a problem with hope. I said it was tricky, didn't I? Hope is tricky. Because sometimes hope comes in the way that we don't desire it. Or we don't recognize it. But even more so than that, hope is something that we have to wait for. And we don't like waiting. We as a society of people hate waiting. We are a society of people that gets everything pretty much at the push of a button. That you can receive most everything in your life now today at the push of a button. How was your Thanksgiving meal? Was it really good? When you were waiting for your Thanksgiving meal, were you hoping that it was going to be really good? And then when you waited for it and it was really good, weren't you thankful for that? So we are used to getting things at a moment's notice, that we can go to a department store and buy something really quick. We can watch a movie as soon as we hit the remote. We can do so many things at the push of a button. We are so used to not waiting for things that we don't know how to wait anymore. And when we have to wait for what God promises, that it makes us angry. It makes us disappointed. We start getting, what's another good word? We start getting impatient. Do you get impatient? I get impatient sometimes. Waiting for the things and having hope in that is a building of expectation of what to come. It builds expectation, right? You waited for your Thanksgiving meal. It built an expectation of what you were going to receive. And we're supposed to wait with in patience with expectation. We're supposed to wait with patience in expectation. But patience is also, it's a scarce commodity. How much patience do you have? Again, for the lack of, I see the stares that I'm getting from Jody right over there. Y'all need to see that because, she remembers. She remembers how much patience I used to have. I didn't have any patience whatsoever. None. I'm much better than I used to be. But patience is a scarce commodity. How much patience do you have? You want to test your patience? Drive into a populated area. I said drive. I drive into Sioux Falls and it just sets my world on fire. People are crazy. They're just crazy, aren't they? I love living in Inwood. The busiest time I have to look at is like when the farmers are getting up in the morning to go head to the fields or whatever. The rest of the time, it's like I might see one or two cars. The time says that Jody goes, "Hey, we need to go to Sioux Falls." It's like, "Oh, do we gotta?" Oh. Sometimes Jody goes, "No, I just want you to stay home. I was telling you why I was going." If driving doesn't bother you, go to a store on Black Friday. No, thank you. None. No, thank you. And if that doesn't bother you, well, wait in line for 25 minutes at that store and see where your patience goes then. I remember getting a phone call here on, well, it was Wednesday. Somebody had to make an emergency run to the grocery store. And they had to wait in line for 25 minutes. We don't have patience, folks. You know what? And we get up here and we talk about it and we laugh and we joke about it. And that's okay. It's okay that we do that. But we have to realize the fact that having hope means that we need to have patience for what's to come in the future. Because we are not going to get shown that until God is ready to show us. And His timing is definitely not our timing. Has God's timing ever been your timing? If so, I need to get the relationship that you have with God. Patience is what we have, but we need to have an expectation of what's to come. And that's what hope is, having a good expectation and anticipation of what is to come. That's what hope is about, folks. It's about learning and knowing that what we're going to receive is going to be so much better than what we have now, and we anticipate that and we're excited for it no matter how long I have to wait for it. We get these things and we understand that fact, but we have a hard time putting them into practice. We have a hard time executing those things. And when we don't have those, the idea of hope that we have gets skewed from what it should be to what we might have. Because a lot of times our hopes are based upon our desires of what we want for the future. And not the desires for what God wants us to have for the future. This is the biggest thing about hope. But hope does come. And in this, well, this time of year when we think about Advent and we look at hope, our hope comes in the form of a Savior. Right? Our hope comes in the form of Jesus. And a Savior who came down and He changed the world. And He continues to change the world if we allow Him to work in us and in the world. He changes the world. You know, there was a place in the book of Isaiah. We already talked about one thing that we're talking about, ancient prophecies about Christ. But Isaiah also talks about how God was going to change the world. He says, "See, I'm doing something new." Says, "You guys don't perceive that I'm doing something new. You aren't watching for it. You guys aren't paying attention to what I have. You guys don't have the will that I have and what's coming." Says, "I'm doing something new." He says, "I'm making a way in the wilderness," right? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. There's a funny word in there. It says, making. That means it's an anticipation that things are in progress. But in our impatience, We don't like the word making. We just want it to be done. And honestly, I would love it for it to be done. I would love the world to be the world that God wants it to be. But he's making a way. He's producing something. He's giving forth effort and making something. He's allowing things to progress the way, well, they need to progress. Sometimes I don't understand it. Well, most of the time I don't understand it. But God does. And for me, I take refuge and I find hope in that. Because in doing that and making new ways, he provides us a way to change. He provides us a way to be different in our lives. You know, when you give your life to Christ, aren't you a new person? Aren't you somebody that you weren't before? You know, when Paul wrote his second letter to the church of Corinth, he made it a point in that. He says, if anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation, right? Are you in Christ? Then you're a new creation. If you're not in Christ, then you're not a new creation yet. You're still the old creation. And if you're still the old creation, and you wonder how things are going so miserably in your life, then you need to examine where you're standing with Jesus at the moment. Because once you give your life to Jesus, you become the new creation. You are not the same person that you were. But you need to be careful because you can actually go backwards to being the old person because you're no longer a new creation in Christ. Did you know you can give up your salvation? You can no longer walk with Christ if you choose to. When you give your life to Christ, it's a rededication of your life to Christ every day. That you live and you still maintain yourself as a new creation. As long as you walk with Christ, you're a new creation. And if you're a new creation, that means you have the hope of Christ inside of you. The hope of a life that's way different. Because Jesus came to this world to give hope to everyone. Everyone who would ask for it. Everyone who would put out a hand and receive it. He will give you hope. He will give you the hope that he brings to life, that he brings to the world. And this is a hope for an eternal existence with God forever. This is the ultimate hope we look at, right? Don't you want to be God with God forever? Do you want to be with God forever? I want to be with God forever. I would gladly give up the existence I have now to go be with God forever in heaven. I would gladly leave all of it behind to have that moment, that opportunity to have that existence forever with God. That's the hope that Jesus brings. He brings a new hope. He brings to birth a living hope. You know, Peter, in writing his letters, he always talked about Jesus as being the hope that the world needs. About Jesus being the new birth for the world that we all needed. That in his mercy that he gave his life so that we could have a living hope through him, through his resurrection. This is the hope of Advent I'm talking about. This is the anticipation of what we should be looking at for this Christmas season. This is what we should desire in our lives. It's a hope for a future, knowing that Jesus has actually overcome the world. You know, Jesus told us that he had overcome the world, and he told us to take heart. In the book of John, he says, take heart. He has overcome the world. You can get rid of that one, Blake, because that's the wrong one. Thank you. In the book of John, and I want to read this to you. Chapter 16, verse 33, and it's the beginning of that. of that scripture. At the end of it says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's what it is to have hope. In our times of trouble, our times of strife, our challenges, in the moments where we don't know whether we can hold it all together or not, that we have hope because Jesus has actually overcome the world. Jesus has overcome everything that we're dealing with at this moment, that the world can throw at us. Jesus has already overcome it. And this is where we find our hope in Jesus, when you give your life to Him. This is the new life that you can experience. My desire, my hope, is that you guys will see hope for the future. That you guys will realize that Jesus Christ is here for you. That you give your life to Him, not just once, not just twice, but daily. Every moment that you wake up during the day, that you give your life to Christ. And Jesus is here to give you hope for a better future, for a better tomorrow, for what's coming up. Because if you're going to base your hope upon what the strength that you have, you are going to leave yourself in a very bad position. Because the hope that we can have, that we bring to our own lives, is something that will not last. And a lot of times it doesn't turn out the way we want. But when we give our lives to Christ, when we become a new creation, He gives us that hope. A hope of a future that's going to be worth something. A hope of a future that's going to be grand. A hope of a future that's going to be joyful. A hope of a future that's going to be full of love. A hope of a future that's going to be wrapped in the warmth of God Himself. A hope of a future that we are going to sit in the same room as God, and we are going to see His face. And when you see His face, you will know what true hope is. And you will see the fact that it came true, just like He promised. There's a particular scripture I want to leave you with this morning. And in fact, it's my prayer for you, especially for this coming Advent season, as we're anticipating. Amber used a great word this morning when I asked her what Advent meant to her. And she said the word contemplation. Contemplation. It should be a time, Advent, of contemplation, of recognizing Jesus has came once. He fulfilled a promise. So that arrival is already here and gone, but we have another arrival that we can look forward to. And that's when Jesus comes back. We don't talk about that a lot, but we need to talk about a lot more. That Jesus is going to come back. The hope for the future, that when He comes back, we will be taken from this earth and taken into heaven. And I want all of you to be there. I want to see your faces. That you can live a life of hope, of knowing that you are in the palm of God's hand, and He is lifting you up. That's the kind of future I hope for you. So let me pray this over you, if you would please. Would you pray with me? It comes out of the book of Romans 15:13, where it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Heavenly Father, I lift up my prayers to You. I lift up my voice to You. Lord, that You would come down upon all people, Lord, so they can have hope. Lord, if they don't know You, I pray that they would come to know You, so that they could be a new creation, You Christ, so that they can hope, have the hope that you bring to life, to us, to the world. And Lord, if they're here, they know You, Lord, and they've given their life to You day after day after day, I pray, Lord, that they're relationship, their connection with you grows stronger, stronger in the hope of anticipation of what's coming up, Lord. The glory of you coming back again and scooping all of your children, all of your followers up, Lord, and taking them with you. This is the hope. This is the hope of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus wants for us. And I pray that in this Advent time, that you contemplate the hope of Jesus Christ in your life, what that means, and that you have it every day for the rest of your existence. We're going to take time during this Advent season to look at all these things, the hope, the love, the joy, the peace that Jesus brings to this Christmas season that we're supposed to concentrate on and have part of our life. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a time of gathering this morning, Lord. And for those of those people that couldn't be here this morning, Lord, we pray that they would hear this prayer in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would feel it. Just as everybody in here feels the prayer that you have for them. Lord, I thank you, and I praise your holy name. Amen.
I'm going to invite you to stand. I love that God is the same God. Same God today that he was yesterday. Same God in Genesis versus Revelation. Same God. We can call on him.